Hey, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Azarkan Tours podcast. Oh, boy, we're so close now. We're actually going to start taking a look at the teams. And Paul Almeida is with me, as always. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Excited. Can't wait to get there.
Yes, and it's coming up very, very quickly, like really quick.
For me, very quick. Yes. I leave on the 19th, so I'm almost ready to go.
I'll just be a couple days behind you. We'll meet up in Stockholm, then we'll get over to Gothenburg, and we're ready to go. Okay, so on the episode today, we're chatting with Stephen Ellis. Great guy, knows his World Junior stuff inside and out. Associate editor and prospect analyst for At Daily Faceoff. It's a great, great site you want to check out. Co-host also of Puck Poolies. He's got a podcast going. He'll tell us about that on the second episode. And has been writing for Hockey News in the past. So he's got it all. He's plugged in.
He knows his prospects, and he knows the World Juniors inside and out.
Absolutely. So we're going to kick things off with Stephen, and we're going to start talking on this episode about Team Canada. Hey, Stephen, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Hey, you had a chance to see Team Canada kind of get rolling a little bit with this this pre-tournament camp. Your thoughts on everything?
Yeah, this is a Canadian team that's, at least at the moment, lacking some high-end talent. We don't obviously know much about the NHL players and stuff like that. But if Canada was able to bring the best team possible, I think this would be a no-brainer. They'd be the number one team in this tournament, especially, you know, if Connor Bedard showed up. That was never going to happen.
Right.
But, you know, when you look at the team that it's got right now, I think the big identity for them is they're going to be a hardworking group. They're going to be chasing for everything, working their butts off. And, yeah, there might not be a Connor Bedard this year, but there's going to be, you know, just a, like 12, 13 forwards out there that are fighting every bit for it, and defensemen that are very difficult to play against. So it's going to be a pretty solid team, definitely a medal contender.
Looking at the forwards, I think they're still hoping that there might be a possibility of getting Zach Benson from Buffalo and possibly Matthew Poitras from Boston, although Boston's got their own issues at center, and he might not be a guy that Boston is willing to loan to Team Canada. Having the 12 forwards, do you think that might be a situation where depth-wise they might be in trouble should they have injuries?
I think they're pretty much for sure going to be getting one extra player, whether it's the NHL or whether it's one of those guys they cut. In terms of the guys they cut, you know, Denver Barkey and Jagr Furkas are the two that stand out as the ones they would probably add. But, you know, I will point out that when they put out the roster, it was quite interesting that one number wasn't taken, and that was number 11. And why that's important is because Jordan Dumais wears number 11 in Halifax. He also wore it at camp with Canada. Adam Fantilli also wears number 11.
That
was a bit of a conspiracy, but, you know, we unfortunately Boone Jenner getting hurt, and now Patrick Laine probably makes that tougher to let him go. But I don't know.
That would have been a huge boost for the team.
Yeah, I think no matter what, they're gonna be pretty solid there. Because again, if they can add one of those NHLers, and then Patra is actually he was a healthy scratch. Just recently, and his ice time has fallen. So that'd be one to watch. But I think with this team, they've got enough skill that no matter who they're adding, I'm pretty confident that'll be okay for them.
I got to be honest. Macklin Celebrini is the guy I'm going to be watching at this event to see whether or not he takes the next step. We all know that he's being highly touted to go number one. So your thoughts on what you've seen so far?
I've only gotten to see him play, I'd say maybe 4 or 5 games total in person, but every time I'm amazed at what I see. This is a guy that, when you look at the way he's played this year, it reminds me a lot of Jonathan Toews. You know, got the size, he's got the drive to win. His teammates really love him. You see him at practice, or I got to see him at practice, and he's chatting with everybody, getting to know everybody. He's going to be a major part of this team. Those first two exhibition games they played against U Sports, nobody stood out more than Macklin Celebrini, and he's playing against older competition than most players on this team outside of Matt Wood, who is also a college player. But with just the maturity that he has, like, he's the real deal. And Coach Alan Letang said he comes as advertised. Just such a great two-way player, knows how to score. Watching him put up 86 points in 50 games last year at Chicago Steel, like, we might not see a guy put up numbers like that at his age for a very long time. Those are the numbers you would have seen back in the old days when goalies couldn't go down to make saves. So Celebrini's special. He's not Connor Bedard special, but he's still a special prospect.
Okay, so the big fun part for me at this event is watching a guy who's coming in so highly touted. I've used that twice now. I feel uncomfortable with that. Anyway, can he take it to the next level? And this is going to be a great opportunity to see what he can do in a rather intense environment. Do you think he can take it up another notch? Or no?
I do. I think, you know, if you're just looking just off of the way that he's playing this season, he's having the most impressive season of anybody on this Canadian roster. And, you know, people point out that he's young, but again, he's been playing against older competition for years. Like, he's a 17-year-old playing college. That typically doesn't happen because you got to really fast track your way to make that work. So he's very mature for his age. You know, we're not going to see him get 20 points, but I wouldn't be shocked if he's challenging for Canada's top scoring role there and maybe even the tournament top scoring title. This will be a one and done for him, though. He'll be in the NHL.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. In terms of a supporting cast for him, Mathieu Savoie, we know he's got huge speed. Geeky brings some size to Canada as well. And then Jordan Dumais is a strong offensive player as well. Do you see those three as the three guys that basically got in a support role for Celebrini, carry the mail for Canada offensively?
For sure. And then I'll throw one more in, and Matthew Wood, who I know a lot of people didn't think was going to make this team. And I could, you know, kind of like with McDavid, kind of like with Crosby, you could probably throw anybody on their line and it'll work out. But the way Matthew Wood and Celebrini found each other last year playing on that U18 World Championship team was quite something. And I think it would be great to see those two guys play together again. I think with Celebrini, he could play center, he could play wing. You can kind of throw him with anybody out there and it will work out. But Savoie, seeing what he's been able to do in the WHL this year, got to play with the Sabres briefly, absolute pure talent, unbelievable that he gets to play here. Cause it, you know, at one point it was like, oh, could he stick with the Sabres? Did not. But Jordan Dumais is producing like no player in the CHL has since, you know, like in the QMJHL, at least since like Sidney Crosby. And he's, because he's missed some games, his point production has fallen down a bit. He missed the first few games of the season for Halifax. He was still on pace for 130 points.
That
would not be his best season in the QMJHL.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Ridiculous how well he puts pucks in the net and how he gets people around him. So there's some high-end scoring options on this team. And as long as they keep flying at full pace, I wouldn't be worried.
Switching to defense, we look at a guy like Tristan Luneau, who's already played some games for Anaheim this season, and Denton Matejchuk. Is that how you pronounce it, Matejchuk?
Yes.
And, you know, I look at a guy like Maverick Lamoureux, who's just a beast already, a man-child on defense. Those three guys are probably the guys that Canada's going to be leaning mostly in terms of a defensive strength. Who do you see playing the power play on the quarterback and... you know, the guys at Canada are really, really going to lean on when the times get tough.
Well, you mentioned Matejchuk, and with him, just he finally had a game in the WHL where he didn't get a point, and it was his last game before heading over to Oakville for camp. It was a 23-game point streak. Kind of nuts for a defenseman. I don't even think Connor Bedard did that last year, just for reference. Just what we saw from him this year is a guy that means business. Columbus Blue Jackets prospect. It'll be interesting to see how he kind of like projects long-term in the NHL, but from a point-producing standpoint, he's great. We didn't get to see him participate in any of the games in Oakville. That was because he made the team. There was no point pushing him out there. But I think he'll be the number one power play quarterback. I'd say maybe they put Tristan Luneau on the second pairing there. And that's like, obviously his NHL experience is good. I think the one thing going against him is he hasn't played a lot of games this year. I think he's played like 13 or 14 games total. So he hasn't been too busy. But I still think, you know, what we've seen from him this year, the fact he's made the NHL in 18 is a good sign. Lamoureux being 6'7", you know, talking to some of the players that were at camp, they were saying Lamoureux and Noah Warren, two of the hardest players to possibly go up against. So this will be a group that's going to be difficult to play against on the blue line, whether it's the size or the skill. This to me is a strength for Canada. It isn't always a big strength for Canada. They've had some defense issues, but this year I don't think that's a problem.
Gotta take a look at goaltending, because this event, man, if your goaltender is not on fire, you don't win. It's pretty simple. You can do all the great things up front. You can do all the things in the middle with the D, but if your goaltenders aren't playing well, it can turn into a mess. The last World Juniors we were at in the Czech Republic in 2020 started slow but came on big. And when you take a look at the three guys that are going over here, let's break down all three and tell us what you think.
Well, it's funny because the guy that I think most expected to be the starting goalie for this team was Dominic DeVincentis, and he didn't make the team. He was the one cut. He just had a rough camp, and it's been a difficult season for him. But if I'm going with who I think is the number one right now, it's Mathis Rousseau. Had a really good camp. Coach Alan Letang mentioned Rousseau by name as a standout in camp, which was interesting because he didn't mention that about any other goalie, but did say the goaltending was very good. That was the thing. I think you could have gone with any combination there. Russo's the smallest goalie there. He's only 5'11", and it does get exposed a little bit. We were seeing guys go top corner on him, but yeah, can't ignore the numbers he's putting up this year for Halifax. Yeah, good team for sure, but he's been a big reason why he's putting up some of the best numbers in the CHL. Then there's Samuel Saint-Hilaire, who really pushed himself to make this team, where he wasn't playing junior hockey 2 years ago. He was kind of off the radar, but he's got the size. He's 6'2". He's having a very good year in the QMJHL. Boston Bruins brought him to development camp. So it's a guy that I know scouts are keeping an eye on. I thought he looked really good in camp, but the guy who to me looked the best in camp was Scott Retzlaff, the Buffalo Sabres prospect, the only NHL drafted goalie on this team. And, if you look just straight at the numbers this year of the Seattle Thunderbirds, it's not looking great, but that's because this is a team in a full rebuild and he's still playing great. He shared the net last year of Thomas Milich, who you might remember was Canada's goalie at this tournament last year and was outstanding. And Ratzlaff's a guy that I think deserves a lot of attention for how important he was for that Thunderbirds team last year. So I think, you know, you could go for any of these three. If I'm picking, it's Rousseau, Ratzlaff, and Saint-Hilaire on that combo, I think it really depends. The good thing about them is they do have three exhibition games this year. Sometimes they have one, sometimes they have two. I think that gives them an extra time to figure out who really is the number one.
And Ratzlaff's the youngest, if I'm not mistaken. He's 18 years of age. And the one thing he might have as a leg up on the other guys is that he played for Letang at the U18s and won a gold medal at the Gretzky Hlinka. So there is a little bit of comfort there with Letang, with Retzlaff. I wonder if that plays in his favor in terms of maybe getting an extra opportunity or maybe getting the opportunity to grab the ball and run with it. As you know, in a tournament like this, usually all it takes is one guy to go on net, play well, and then he's there for the rest of the tournament and he takes over. So it's not always the guy that comes in that you think, oh, he's the strongest goaltender. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the guy that at the time looks like he's the best opportunity to get it. And so you mentioned Canada play three exhibition games before the tournament starts. They play Denmark, Switzerland, and the USA. Really, that USA might be a bit of a barometer going into the tournament as to where they stand, because they look to be a very strong opponent in the tournament as well.
And I'll argue maybe the most important game of those is actually the Denmark game. And that's because it's the Denmark U-25 men's team.
Did not know that.
Yeah, there'll be guys be playing pro hockey for a while at this point, some of them at the world championship level. So that's going to be, we always kind of talk how good this world junior team is. I think a lot of people will kind of write off the world championship, for example, and say, oh, it's not the best players. But it's a bunch of guys who've been playing pro their whole life, like for their whole career. It's like these are very good hockey players. And this is going to be a challenge, just like U Sports was, where, yeah, you know, a lot of those guys aren't going to have pro careers, or if anything, it'll be AHL or ECHL. But they're, 23, 24, 25 years old, and that's valuable. So that experience will be good. But yeah, they're going against the Americans, a team where luckily they're in different groups. If they both win their group, they have a good chance of fighting each other in the final, which would be great. Although I would not be wanting to be a Canadian in that matchup, because I don't think it will favor them. I think the good thing with Canada is they have the more difficult group. Where they do have to play Finland and Sweden, and that will definitely kind of help them, because even if they finish, let's say, third in their group, it might be a bit more of a favorable matchup than if they were in the other group having to swap over. So we'll see. But that American team's fast, they're skilled, just some of the best depth you're going to find in this tournament, and that's going to be a tough challenge. And it's, it's an exhibition game, but it's going to be treated like a lot more. It's, the New Year's Eve game for Canada is Canada-Germany.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Canada, the USA, unfortunately. Yeah. We love to see, but this will feel like the New Year's Eve type impact, I think.
Hey, I got to ask you about the U Sport matchups to kind of get things rolling a little bit here. You're talking about older, more veteran players. How did the younger guys stack up against those guys, do you think, for the most part?
I think the one thing that the Canadian team had in particular over them was the speed advantage. Yeah. And I think because you've got these higher end junior guys, but the one thing that the other players were doing is, you know, a lot of those guys have had to be role players in their junior teams. They weren't guys putting up 90 points a year with, like, some of them were drafted to the NHL and some of them came close, but not many actually were, you know, like super high end prospects. So you can kind of tell that in the skill level, but the way they worked, the way they pushed Canada, it really showed. And Canada was the better team in game one, but U Sports was all over them in that second game. And I think it was like 6-1 or 6-2 in the final. So there's a reason they keep playing those guys, is because they give them the challenge and they're difficult. And again, some have pro experience that comes in handy here.
There's always a guy during these World Juniors that maybe is projected as a third, fourth liner to start. But then as the tournament grows, they grow in terms of importance for the team. Is there one guy maybe that's not on the top two lines that you might say, this is a guy that could really step up and be a huge factor for Canada somewhere down the line?
You know, the one guy that I thought probably shouldn't have made this team was Easton Cowan, but he might be the guy that fits that description there, where you look at the year he's having, on pace for over 100 points this year. And myself and many were shocked when the Leafs picked him in the first round. The guy who, you know, wasn't close to a point per game, had a great playoff run for sure, but hadn't shown all year long that this was someone that I think a lot of people expected to go near the first round. And I know a lot of NHL teams were shocked to see that. But he continues to prove people wrong. He continues to play at every level like he has to prove something. He showed that at Leafs training camp, and this year of London, he's bringing the energy. He can play anywhere in the lineup. So I think his ability to be slotted in anywhere, whether it be at center, whether it be the wing, I think is very valuable. So if there's an injury in the lineup and you don't want to see that, I think Cowan's going to be one of those guys that has a chance to move up and show that he could play with anybody on this team.
He is the Swiss Army knife, is the hockey term, which I love so much. Yeah. Hey, listen, we're going to come back on another episode. We'll start to take a look a little bit at the other guys, the other teams. And we talked a little bit about Team USA. We'll talk more about them, and we'll take a look at the pool. Team Canada's in, Sweden and Finland are in with them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for your time on this episode, Stephen.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
So there you go. There's Stephen Ellis, who's joining us on this episode and on the next episode as we start to focus ahead, Paul, on the other teams and maybe some of the players we should be watching.
Yeah, it was a great episode. I really like his breakdown of Team Canada and the players that we should be looking for. Obviously, for me, and I think for you, Celebrini is a guy that we're going to have very close eye on, a possible number one overall draft pick next year in the draft. But a lot of great information, and really look forward to seeing how this Team Canada stacks up in the tournament and how some of the guys maybe step forward that we're not expecting.
We're going to see who's going to be in the way of Canada celebrating a gold medal championship. That's a bit of a stretch. But anyway, hey, listen, thanks, Paul. We'll talk to you soon.
Excellent. Let's go.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you. Let's roll.